DW. How can you have not enough water when seawater takes up most of the planet? In fact, around 70% of the world's surface is covered by water. Yet, less than 1% is suitable for drinking, industry and hygiene. Irena Banyas-Ruiz joins us in the studio now. She's been looking into this for us at DW.com. So, Irena, tell us, how do you make seawater safe for use?
Well, once seawater reaches the desalination plant, it goes two main different processes. The one is thermal desalination, which causes the water to evaporate and condense, leaving behind salt and other impurities that may come from the sea. There is a second main process, which is called reverse osmosis. It uses a filter membrane that only allows water molecules to pass through, leaving again salt and impurities outside. Actually, 70% of desalinated water goes through reverse osmosis. This is a much more used process because of its greater energy efficiency. Just imagine that changing the water's physical state from liquid to vapor, as it is needed in the thermal desalination, it's really energy intensive. It really needs a lot of energy.
Okay, so essentially what we're doing then is removing salt from water to make it safe for drinking, basically. Other than the amount of energy that it takes, what other environmental impacts does this process have?
Well, first of all, it requires a lot of energy, both of the processes, but it's important to mention that most of the desalination plants are powered by fossil fuels. And we know what happens with fossil fuels. They create, they generate greenhouse gases. So this is kind of a vicious circle. We have climate change, which leads to more extreme drought events. So we need more desalination plants. But the desalination plants are powered by fossil fuels, which in turn create climate change and lead then to greater drought. I think we get the point, right, of this whole vicious circle. Mm-hmm. And then we have, which is called brine. That's the hypersalinated water that is left after the purification process. So if we have a liter of seawater, and from that, we want to have purified water. What happens to all the salt that is left behind? Well, this water, hypersalinated water, actually is turned back to the ocean. Yeah, I was very impressed by this fact, actually, when I started looking at this topic this week. But then when the hypersalinated water or brine reaches the sea, it may affect wildlife, of course, because it is so condensed or the density is so high that it sinks and it reaches the seabed and affects, for instance, fish eggs, but also seagrasses and even coral reefs in some cases. When the seas are closed, like it happens in the Arabian Gulf, the damaging effects are much greater. And actually, researchers have found that the effects in the Arabian Gulf are already quite bad.
Okay, and you mentioned the Arabian Gulf. What countries are leaders in this field in desalination?
Of course, it's not by chance that the Arabian Gulf is mostly impacted, because in the Middle East, countries are in the middle of a desert. They are in a very arid region, and therefore they need desalination plants. And they also have money to be able to power them and fossil fuels. So it means they are in the middle of a desert. They barely have freshwater resources, but they have easily accessible seawater, and they have cheap fossil fuels. So that makes a great combination to power desalination plants. But of course, we are not taking into account in this perfect deal the environmental impacts.
Okay, and you've covered quite broadly this and been researching this. Is there anything else we need to know about desalination that we wouldn't already know?
Well, maybe not especially about desalination, but it's important to point out again, as you were mentioning at the beginning of this interview, that agriculture already accounts for 70% of global freshwater use. We know that the population is extremely growing. By 2050, we may have already 10 billion people on Earth, and that the food needs, of course, is in parallel growing. So we really have to be careful with the freshwater use we do in our daily lives. I was just some minutes ago talking to a researcher, and he said desalination plants will be crucial for our future, but they should be like an emergency plan only, you know? We really have to make a proper use of fresh water in our daily lives and then go to the desalination plants once we really don't have any other options. DW.